Should I talk, Joe? Ryan Ripken said he doesn't come in until it's 6:05 in the a.m.
Mm.
So we're just going to let this song play. No. Welcome in, Jeremy Kahn, Ryan Ripken. If you don't know, Rob waits till 6:02 every day. It has to be 6:02 in the a.m.
On the dot.
Yes, because if somebody fills in for, well, Joe knows it now, but if somebody fills in for Joe and then all of a sudden we come out at like 6:01, he'll just sit here and let the music play. He's like, it's 6:02. That's how he starts his day. Hey, I don't fault him for it. It's just what he does. But anyway, it's an interesting day. We got a lot to talk about, especially with baseball and what went on last night. A lot of football stuff that's coming out this week. I just think there's a lot of interesting things going on regarding both teams and the direction they're going and how people feel. And I know we were sending some texts back and forth, or I read yours this morning about, I mean, look, Kimbrel just had it tough. And then the quote from Hyde is the thing that caught me is like, we're trying to find places to get him in the games. Well, then if you're trying to find places you feel comfortable to get him in a game, should he really be here? You know, and I know we're going to talk about a lot of this stuff, but you know, overall, what was your evening like? I know it was watching the birds.
Oh, well, what else happened? I don't know. You know what? I told Joe walking in here, I'm still trying to get acclimated to this schedule. You know, with the weather, I'll be honest, I didn't check the report waking up. So a little bit of rain. I was a little bit disoriented. I was a little bit tired. So I'm getting on the schedule. Yeah, just, you know, nice evening.
Yeah.
Not a nice evening if you're an Orioles fan. I do get that. But that's about it. Jeremy, how are you feeling?
I'm good. The thing with me today, like there was two things. I was driving into work, and just like you're talking about with the rain, so I'm coming from Glen Burnie, and they're doing all the road work on 695. And I said this before, where they're drawing the lines, it's still not clear.
Oh, not at all.
And like, especially in the rain, you see the dotted line. You could still see the line from the old lane, and it's like you're seeing people switch. It's in the rain. It has to, like, I don't know if the state's responsible for any accidents that happen out there with this stuff, but like, it's unbelievable to see what people are doing. You're going home on 695. So if I'm going to Glen Burnie from the radio station, which is near Towson, there's at one point the lane opens up to the left, and it's a gigantic, if you want to call it, we've always called it a brake lane, but you know, your side lane that you're going to get over there, and if you got to pull your car over, whatever. And it's like three lanes long or two lanes long now, and then there's still lines that go down it, and you'll see people acting like they're going to go around somebody. It's like, oh, this looks like a lane. And all of a sudden they start driving down. They see a car broken. I was like, oh, nope, got to get back over. Or you see the lines and you're like, is this the line? Am I following this? Because in the dark and in the rain, it's damn near impossible, man. And I saw people swerving all over the road today.
Oh, well, actually, now that you thought that, I thought I was just so tired this morning that that was just me seeing things. But okay, yeah. I'm not alone.
No.
This is foreign for me. Still at 4:35 in the morning trying to figure it out. But another note, I feel like there's just all, is construction ever going to stop on 695? I don't know. Honestly, I have to go back to 15 years ago, but I digress on that, Jeremy.
No, but like, I mean, you're coming from where? You come from?
A little bit. I'm coming from even more south, you know, past Annapolis. And
oh, you got a bigger, so you're coming same way I am.
So it's a long haul. Like I said, for me, it's just getting used to it. My eyesight's still supposed to be there, technically. I mean, I'm 31. I was playing. I used to get the physicals that said I had good vision. Sometimes if you look at the stats for me, it doesn't always add up to that because I did swing and miss at some spots. But yeah, right now in the morning, Jeremy, between you and me, and I guess anyone listening, I did hold like the lateness record when I was young trying to get to school.
Oh, your mom told
I was
us.
Brutal.
Your mom, she came on the show and blasted you.
Open. I'm glad. Glad she's still an open book on airwaves. Love her, though. Love you, Mom.
We had her in studio, and she's like, man, the one thing I'd say about Ryan, it's so tough to get him up in the morning for school. Back in the day, he didn't want to go, and we'd always end up being late. But at least you own that, right?
I own that. But hey, when I got to be a professional, and even for what I love in college, actually, Jeremy, you had a little bit of a grace period. In high school, you didn't have that grace period. I remember it was 8:10 that you had until you'd be marked late for athletes. And I always seemed to get there between 8:05 and 8:09 in college. And then for professional baseball, though, and here in all seriousness, I always make sure I'm on time. Maybe I'm hauling, but I make sure I don't miss a show or miss a time.
But there is something too where you get comfort in your own surroundings, whereas like, you know, in high school or even in college, to one point when you're the freshman, you're like, hey man, I gotta be there early, I gotta make sure I'm not late. And then you start to get a little bit more comfortable. It's like we talk about it, I'm the last one that usually gets here for the show, and I mentioned this before because when we first started driving into the station, I came in here one morning with Rob, and I've known Rob longer than almost everybody here at the station. Bob Haney, I think, would be the other one that I've known longer than anyone else. But anyway, that being said, so I come in, and here I am. You know, I'm a chatterbox, and I'm talking to Rob. And like, hey, so what are you doing? Yeah. And I'm like, what the, is he miserable? What's going on? And then the lights come on. He's like, 602. And I'm like, that's a different guy. He was miserable here for a half an hour. And I sat in uncomfortable silence. And I told him this. I said, I'm not coming in here for that anymore. I'm just not. So I get here. I try to get here like between 15 minutes before the show starts. But I'm also the guy, and this is something I'm going to talk about later, is I watch all the games, man. I stay up late. So like my preparation's not in the morning. I'm doing my stuff at night. Because I want to have eyes on everything. Now, do I watch everything working a morning show now? No. But if I miss it at night, I rewatch it on YouTube in the morning.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It's you're trying to be prepared, right? Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, you know, just talking about even the I don't know how you guys do it sometimes during football season, especially if you want to watch that Sunday night game or the Monday night game.
Middle of 2022 with this group
it's
of players.
A great ending
more
if you
less.
Stayed up
now,
for,
you know within the span of a few
minutes.
Months, it's just
but,
it's
yeah,
gotten
it's,
away
it's
from
a little
us.
Different
but
now
we're ready
was,
to pull this
you know,
together, and I believe that we're going to. We still got time to do so. Mike had a very memorable series against the Orioles.
I'm always that guy.
On high and deep to right field,
watch one more
and he's
play.
Doing
oh,
it again.
Watch one more
it
drive.
Is gone.
And maybe I have so
Mike
much fear of missing out on a great
starts
sports
the
moment
game by
the
going
moment,
deep.
No
to my
doubt
detriment.
About that one.
But if
shot
I don't,
the bases,
yeah,
Yastrzemski.
Yeah, but
back-to-back back kind of walks.
Like, the Giants have the bases loaded now. One out.
This is not what you expected to see. Suarez.
Wisely lights out with the right. It's going to be caught by Sontag there. Bailey will tag. He'll come in to score. It's 2-0 Giants. Now Yastrzemski. Lines that one into right
night.
Field. That's a base hit. Here
myself,
comes McCray
so
around third.
Santander
up with the throw. It is late. McCray scores. Mike
Yastrzemski,
two at-bats, two RBIs, and the Giants have the first three.
But the other
and the dirt rushman's throw will be late on McCray.
You're making a lot of what I call business deals. Right here going, hey, is it more important
and up the middle, into center field. Get him over, get him in. Walton gets him in, 4-0 Giants.
82 pitches for Albert Suarez. He has had to work tonight.
This is about as good as we've seen anybody against the Orioles this year.
And it has been
the other part of it is
from Blake
Snell.
Television
six
shutout innings, only one hit allowed, two walks, and 12 strikeouts.
What an absolute dominant performance from him.
This frustrating second half for Craig Kimbrell continues.
Yeah, he did.
Lefty-lefty
and
called it first at bat.
Now a bunt. Wisely puts it down. The throw home. He's safe at home. And the Giants play a great baseball tonight. It's 5-0. And that is a walk to load the bases.
7 o'clock.
Second of the inning.
Sleep.
Rich
I'm
one into right
game,
field. Base hit. In the score. Walton right behind him. Wisely. 7-0
hey,
Giants.
It's time.
Three runs in here in the ninth inning. Ramos drives one. Yastrzemski in to score.
Do you leave your TV on then?
Second half. Full of struggle.
My wife had to get
Craig Kimbrell, that was
I've always
still responsible for 2 minutes in scoring position.
Matt Baldwin. Another
base hit for the Giants.
Going to catch
in
all
every
of Kimbrell's stranded runners.
And it was a
friends.
Really tough night.
I've seen every episode on those shows at least 50
minutes. Yeah, I mean, it's not
that's what I go to bed
fun going through
like,
it.
I woke up this morning like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine was
and talking about it for a while.
Running through every episode I've seen.
Yeah,
and it's funny when you go,
figure out a way to get through
it. Of
course,
man,
I mean, they've done it.
I just watched that yesterday. No, you've watched
pretty much
all
first,
of them
third quarters of the year, and then
you've seen every single episode. But that's how my wife
kind of weird.
She's
kind of been out of sync, it seems like. And I mean, obviously, we know we've done it. There's new faces, but they're all really awesome players. So
yeah, I'm the guy. If the TV stays on.
Kind of weird not
on.
Being able to get through
like,
it.
And,
but,
and I can't help
you just
myself.
Keep pushing.
And I'm the same
and so
way. All those reruns
go away
I've
at some
seen
point.
Where mine was.
O's offense,
she
where
friends.
Art thou?
She got
Baltimore
me into friends,
has dropped 8 of their
friends.
Last 11 games,
if that
scoring
TV's
21
still on,
runs.
Anything that's on, I cannot shut my brain off. And then Ryan will be, that was a problem for me when I was younger. If I was stimulated, I'd look up and be like, oh, these shirts and pants, it's 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
And, I'll just doze off here for a moment. That was easier to do when I played, Jeremy, and you have to go to the field at noon. Hard to do that now when you got to be here at, you know, 5:58 or 6:01 if we needed it to be.
It's a different lifestyle to get accustomed to, and people that work mornings or people that work overnights will tell you. Because I know today, once I get home, there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, I want to watch the Cubs game this afternoon, but, like, I will be getting in a power nap as soon as I finish all my handicapping and everything because my body's telling me, like, I didn't get enough sleep last night. I'm on that struggle bus. But, you know, it's one of those things. Could I be watching any more shows? Just Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Friends, and The Office, for that matter. So, all right, we got a lot of stuff to get into. Wanted to hold back talking about the Orioles because I know you have some thoughts about last night.
Oh, sugar, yeah.
And seeing all the fans losing their minds on social media, the people that are down on the team, we're going to talk about that. We'll also get to, coming up at 6:30, we'll talk about Mike Elias's injury report and what he said was going on, basically a timeline for some of the guys. But up next, we'll talk about Blake Snell and what he looked like last night. The different walk-up music for the batters as they're trying something different to get it going. We get into it next. Ryan Ripken, Jeremy Kahn here on the Big Bad Morning Show.
The Big Bad Update from the Yard. Brought to you by LifeMed Institute. Guys, regain confidence and performance in the bedroom with Gainswave Therapy at LifeMed Institute. Gainswave is a revolutionary non-invasive ED treatment. Call 410-575-1200 or go to LifeMedInstitute.com to find out more. On 105.7 The Fan.
We've done it pretty much first three quarters of the year, and then just kind of this last little bit's been kind of weird, just kind of been out of sync, it seems like. And I mean, obviously we know we've done it, there's new faces, but they're all really awesome players, so it's kind of weird not being able to get through it, but I mean, just got to keep pushing. It's eventually going to go our way at some point.
Yeah, that's Gunnar Henderson talking about especially this kind of the losing that's been going on, if you want to call it a streak, if you want to call it poor play since the All-Star break. We're listening to you, but I think it's been, I wouldn't say an epidemic going around the league. I think a lot of teams are struggling, and that's not me trying to give excuses for this team. The other thing I did want to say coming into this, and Ryan, I know you can speak on this as well, is like, it does kind of suck that you're coming in, you get a day off, and the guy that you're seeing, I already think the Orioles struggle to a degree against left-handed pitching, and then you get Blake Snell, who one of the nastiest lefties in the league. To me, he's still a five-inning pitcher, even though he did get through the six last night. You know, you look at a guy like that facing this team, and you're obviously going to have your struggles. And then we get into the thing that people still don't understand is, like, what is this lineup? There is a difference. Look at Austin Slater and what he does against left-handed pitching. Look at some of the other guys that were sitting last night, the lefties, and how Cedric Mullins have been batting at the top of the lineup. He gets dropped down. Why? Because it's a tough lefty. It's a really tough lefty.
Yeah.
But I do think those things matter, and you have to spell guys, give guys days off. Sometimes if they're not hitting well, maybe you give them a couple days off. If you can, you know, give them a day off before you actually have an off day and then hope to tie some things together just to let him get his head right, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm glad you mentioned just how tough Blake Snell is. I think he's okay. Jeremy, didn't he win the NL Cy Young?
He did.
And I know it was the fiasco in the offseason. Again, that's a whole different discussion. If I was Blake Snell, of not getting a bigger deal, and that was the whole debacle with Scott Boris and not being able to lock that down. And he got off to a slow start this year. Like, it was a struggle for him. And if you look at his splits and you go early, he had an 11.57 ERA in April, 8.59 in May, 5.79 in June. You know, like, you're looking at that going, man, this guy sucks. This guy stinks. Well, he is really good, and you have to round in the form. He didn't have a regular spring training. July, 0.75. Not 0.75. And then August, 1.64. And then September, a 1.50. Like, this dude is electric. And for a Baltimore Orioles offense, Jeremy, and you were hitting the nail on the head with it. It's a group that has struggled versus lefties over the last, kind of in the consistency of their struggles as a team the last couple months. And then you, on top of not hitting lefties well, you're trying to find the right rhythm of this lineup. And there has been so much shuffling going on. So combining what Snell is doing with the fact that the Orioles don't have a consistent lineup that they want to throw out there at the moment, it was a recipe for disaster. And I mean, yeah, you're right. Snell doesn't usually go deeper into games.
He does have a no-hitter this year.
Yeah, that's nice. And he got drilled when they tried to put the cooler on him, by the way, on top of it. But he has that. Oh, and by the way, I mean, I would let him run out there as long as he could. He gave up one hit, walked two, and punched 12. So, I mean, what he was doing last night was just criminal to the Orioles hitters. But unfortunately for them, it's that perfect storm. really talented pitcher with an offense that doesn't have any type of rhythm. It's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, absolutely. And last night, I know, Joe, you were telling me you've got some of these left-handed numbers.
Yeah, so the last 22 games, it's not totally up to date because this I saw this before last night's game.
So it's even worse.
It might be even worse, yeah. Their OPS over the last 22 games against left-handed pitching is 549. Ugh. The previous 22 games before that, it was 849.
Yeah, and I don't know what, like, again, we have a very strongly left-handed team, which is why there were some people saying, hey, you need to get a right-handed bat, and they get Eloy Jimenez, and people are like, oh, my God. Remember when the White Sox were like, thanks for taking him off our hands, and then he's hitting when he gets here, and everybody's like, well, thank you then, because it's worked out. Now when you look at the lineup and the way things have gone, even Austin Slater, like he was on this Giants team, and it's the same thing. Left-handed pitcher, he's batting leadoff. Mm-hmm. You know, you saw Yastrzemski at the top of the order last night. Sometimes you'll see that against right-handed pitching, but then when they face lefties, you're going to see him batting seventh or eighth. It's just kind of how, I mean, that's what the numbers are telling you, analytically speaking, right? Like, and I don't know what it is. You were a left-handed hitter?
Mm-hmm.
Facing lefties, what's the difference of, is it the delivery, or you just don't get to see them enough?
Well, it's interesting to me because depending on who the lefty is makes a world of difference.
Well, like if you look at the Astros, they've got two guys in Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez that crush lefties.
Yeah, here's my thing. If you are a really damn good hitter, I'm hitting you in that same spot no matter what. That's just my opinion. Like, you know, Yordan Alvarez, and yeah, it helps if you know they can hit those guys better. But if they're your dudes, because you're hoping that lefty's not going to stay in the game the whole time, I want my best bat to who I want near the top of the order. Alvarez, Tucker, I don't care any matchup. I give Hyde credit on the matchups because even though we've seen it recently, he's done an overall really solid job with that. So I want to preface that. But your talent should dictate wherever it was. Like, I never loved putting Gunnar Henderson, dropping him for certain things. Because talent, I know that he's better against righties, but I want my best guys in their spots. Now, what I'm saying, when you're facing a lefty, like a guy that, like, since it's been a topic before, Trevor Rogers style, mm-hmm. compared to then a Blake Snell style, you got Snell as a power pitcher. That's just disgusting. You don't want to face it. That's hard for a left-handed hitter. Go ahead.
No, I want to ask you this because, like, is the key to facing a guy like Snell is trying to get ahead of him because now you can kind of sit on that fastball sometimes. But he might be a little bit more advanced and been in the league for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a guy that throws 95 plus as a lefty, it's extremely challenging. But also, how deceptive are they? Like, for Trevor Rogers, while I was bringing that up, he could be deceptive, or Cade Povich. But if you're deceptive and you don't throw as hard and you can't locate your secondary pitches, makes it a challenge. Mm-hmm. So that's why with Rogers, he was getting lit up, is his deception wasn't enough on his off-speed pitches and they weren't sharp enough. You'd get lit up a little bit. For Blake Snell, because he throws harder, he could get away with more because of his deception and the velo of it. So that's just a part of it with lefties. They can be funky in that sense, by the way, of how they can hide their arm. I know some righties say, like, hey, I can just see all lefties. They just have a confidence to them. Mm-hmm. But overall, different than some righties, in my opinion, just lefties just have different angles with which they go from. But, yeah, again, I still like to lean with, regardless of who it is, if you're swinging the bat well or you have your best guys, I want my best guys higher in the lineup because you hope in big situations you can get them one more crack at it later in the game.
See, and I think it's important to look at those things, you know, and by the way, changing up something. I don't want Gunnar Henderson to change up his theme song because I fell in love with Bryson Stott with the Phillies. And when everybody was singing, what is it? Is it the Guns in Our Head? What is that song that they do? Or is it the... He does, or A-OK, that's his. A-OK is the one that he does.
Oh, yeah, and then he hit the granny. I remember
the
seeing that.
The crowd was
highlight.
Singing it. And it's amazing. I think with the Sweet Escape, the people going, ooh. I could see that happening with the crowd here, and I mm-hmm. wanted to see it. But walking up the magic stick, I can't argue with that. But
well, I mean, that was Gunner's choice last night for sure.
I don't know. Everybody changed their music.
Well, I'm gonna be honest here. Gunner should, if he did change it, he should change it back. 0-for-4 with three punchies. If I'm a hitter right there, getting rid of it. But I like the fact that they're trying something. You might think that's crazy. Yeah, I know you love this part.
I love it.
Like, as a player, we're creatures of habit. And also, we think finding something on the ground and we pick it up and we go get three hits, then we're going to go look, we're going to go searching for the next thing. Or I put my sock on, or maybe, you know, how I, what order I put my uniform on, or if I forgot to wear a cup, which I try not to, had some bad experiences, Jeremy. Then you're like, well, do I not wear it this time? Do I, like, that's how players think. And just that change of thought can make a difference. Unfortunately,
I just think they
didn't work yesterday.
You picked a bad person to switch up all your theme music to go against when you struggle against lefties and you're getting last year's Cy Young Award winner, mm-hmm. who's probably been the best pitcher in baseball the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's tough. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk plenty of Orioles. We'll take some phone calls, especially this hour. I know people want to talk about what Mike Elias said, the injury report that came out, or at least, I don't like calling it a report, but he's kind of telling you the timeline for some of these guys, what you can expect and maybe what you can't expect. So we're going to get into that. 410-583-1057 right here on The Fan.
Jordan's doing great, too. I think you may see him hit BP out on the field here today like a normal citizen, so that'll be exciting. And we can't wait to have him back. And, you know, we are expecting him back before the end of the regular season. We're not totally there yet, but it's going really well.
That's Mike Elias talking about some of these injuries. I mean, if you heard, I mean, he said a lot yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we're not going to necessarily get to everything. Here's some of the things that we did hear about. He addressed the media to provide injury updates. Grayson Rodriguez moving in the right direction, but time is not our friend. So let's start with that one, because there were some people saying, could we see Grayson in the bullpen if he's not built back up to where he needs to be, if he's healthy? And they said that is a possibility.
Yeah, and you know what? Because of that, because of being against the clock, and you do not want to put him in a position that could hurt him, not only for your chance to help your team right now, but also hurt his future. I mean, look, I know that we're looking at this year. You're looking at 2024, trying to make a run in the postseason, all that stuff. But you're still looking at a young pitcher that is a piece for you moving forward. If you mess that up, you know, that is something that will be very hard to live with. And for Grayson, though, I think it's understanding. But I like the fact you want him to try to build up to be a starter. And that's the protocol. And then if you can't get to that point, then have that discussion with Grayson. And yeah, you know what? A guy, if he's doing more max energy for, you know, a can be a long relief or coming in for an inning. But it comes down to, you know, high leverage with Grayson. I'm sure he would rise to the occasion. It's still hard to do because he hasn't been a relief pitcher. So there can be something there. But it is encouraging, though, at least hearing, you know, getting Grayson back in any capacity, I think Orioles fans will take.
Absolutely. Here's some of the other ones that he talked about as well. Ryan Mountcastle expected to go out on a rehab assignment this week. He's hoping he returns by the end of the regular season. Mm-hmm. That's big news.
That's huge news, especially from how they were describing Ryan Mountcastle, of things aren't responding well, I think was the earlier terminology. But that's big. And if Mountie's actually starting the rehab assignment, that's on pace for it. You're looking at it right now. It is September 18th at 6:36 in the morning. You're feeling good that in 11 days, it's the finale. You can get Mountie back next week, 7 days, and maybe get him back for the end of the Yankees Twins. Hey, that's a realistic chance.
By the way, we've talked about how bad the defense has been on the infield. Ooh. And I know Gunnar's had his mistakes this year and a lot of errors. But the three guys we're about to talk about, Mountcastle, Westberg, mm-hmm. and Ramon coming back, like, that's got to vastly improve that defense and make your team better. And there's a lot of different things I want to get to regarding this, the trade deadline and all that stuff that people were bitching about, because I think Mike Elias kind of addressed it all. But he did say Jordan Westberg, you heard it in that quote, taking BP on the field today. He's getting really close to returning by the end of the season. So that's another great sign. And he also said Ramon's on a similar timeline as them. So what it can allow you to do, depending on what we see with Jackson Holliday, if he's on the postseason roster, I expect him to be. But, like, you know, he's had, what, three games off in a row now? And I understand yesterday with a tough lefty, you give off many lefties as you can. But, like, for example here, if you had to put Ramon at third and Westberg back at second or vice versa, your defense has to improve. And I'll say this, with Mountcastle being out there, he has to be, even if he's hurt, a better defender than what we've seen at first base over the past couple weeks.
Yeah, and look, I love Ryan O'Hearn.
I do too.
Like, dude is an unbelievable guy. He is an unbelievable impact bat for the Orioles. But if we're going to go between Ryan O'Hearn and Mountie, Mountie is that first base option that you want. And people can say, oh, first base is overrated, Ryan, you're biased. Well, yeah, I'll be biased towards first baseman, but go ask great infielders. Go ask great shortstops, third baseman, second base, whoever you want to ask. Or actually, you can tell me who you like, and I'll go and point to the first baseman that they have. The first baseman's job is to help those players make the great plays. And they know no matter what happens, that first baseman has them. Ryan Mountcastle was that security blanket over there. Hey, throw it over here. It doesn't matter. It's in the vicinity. I'll make the play. Your confidence boosts. And I think that's a, that's an element that people miss on. And when you, like, the ball's in the dirt, that's an error on the shortstop. You know, so it's little things like that. So we'll see what happens.
A couple other things here also from Elias. Danny Kalum will pitch in his third rehab game today or tomorrow.
Yes.
He's close to being an option. So look, there's a lot of good news here with some of this stuff and coming back. The thing that I like, we've talked about their struggles against lefty. All three of those bats that are coming back all hit from the right side of the plate where they're wanting, in my opinion. So, and again, if you get matched up with the Astros, two of their best pitchers are lefties. You get matched up with, we've talked about the Tigers and what they bring to the table. Kansas City's best pitcher in Reagans is a lefty. Cleveland doesn't have a lot of lefties. I'm trying, who am I missing here? You know, when you looked at New York, you're obviously going to see it depending on how they use Cortez and some of these other guys. But I think people would look, teams would look at it and say, if this team struggles against lefties, I want to get one of them in the rotation somewhere. Yeah. If you have options.
Oh, for sure. But you got to make sure, again, it goes down to which lefty that you have that can be that option. Because there are those other teams do have some other power arms for righties. And you got to go to your strength as a team first and foremost. But I think the bigger thing that you just mentioned, just like getting guys like that back is huge, you know, and guys that really brought stability to a roster. Like Jordan Westberg, that one still, to me, circled it. And when it happened, Jeremy, and I'm looking at it, I let out a it really bothered me to my core because of the fact of what he brought to the team in so many different ways. Like, he literally was like the calming presence of that lineup, calming presence on the field, and then you lose that. But those guys, man, it really makes a difference, and especially how good Ramon was swinging the bat beforehand. You hope they can find that magic.
Yeah.
But it does hurt a lineup when we're talking about, yeah, lefties have been really having their way with Theo's batting order lately.
Absolutely. Let's go to, we'll take a phone call here real quick because it's going to lead us into our next segment. Alan in Odenton wants to talk about Craig Kimbrell. What's up, Alan?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah.
Can we please get rid of the Craig Kimbrell experiment? He's awful.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, go ahead. I can't understand why we still throw him out there.
Alan, I appreciate the call, man. It's like, look, that's kind of, we're getting into this next part where it's like, hey, Elias is taking responsibility for the team's downturn and some things that went wrong. There are a few things that are out of his hand.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that you can ding him on, to a degree, because they were still looking for a closer, and you weren't looking for a closer for the next 4 or 5 years. You needed the stopgap until Batista comes back. So there was a lot of talk like, hey, could you trade for a closer? I don't know if you saw what they gave, the Padres gave up for Tanner Scott.
Oh, yeah.
Hell no, I'm not giving that up for a rental. And this is where I have issues with the fans that want to say, you should have traded for this, you should have traded for that. And then they're all just throwing out all these names like it's just about this year. It's about more than this year for a team that hasn't had success in a long time. So this is what I want to talk about, and we'll get your take on it too, Ryan. 410-583-1057. Elias did take responsibility for the downturn over the last couple months. But again, how much of that is his fault? We discuss it next here on The Fan.
Ultimately, you know, I put the roster together. I put the staff together. I put the personnel together. And, you know, results in this business, whether it's this year or other years, you know, it starts right here with me. But, you know, that's been, I think, our focus this year. And, you know, the testing of our depth and a lot of the depth that we've lost is not something that I anticipated to this degree in the second half. On the position player side, I mean.
Yeah, that's Mike Elias talking about all the things that have gone wrong. And look, we can go over a couple of these things, Ryan, because I have no issues with anything they did at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. And that's me personally. And you can call me a homer. You can say, oh, you're whatever, mouthpiece for the Orioles. I don't care what you say. But the bottom line is, when you look at the trades and you go over everything, first off, the Zach Eflin trades was one of the best trades at the trade deadline.
Yep.
I was more worried about the pieces you gave up for Eflin because I trust the Rays organization and finding good talent than I was. And this isn't me knocking Norby or Stowers. I just felt like they were blocked here. and you're getting something of value in Trevor Rogers, who, by the way, is lighting it up in the minor leagues now. Don't know what that means for the future, but you got him for two more years. So if you can get him back to where he was his rookie season as an all-star and just dominating, great. And people took umbrage with that trade because they knew the names Norby and Stowers. And everybody's like, look at what he's doing. And I said, well, if you want to go look at things, now Norby's been hitting more. Mm-hmm. But Stowers started off terrible in Miami, and Norby started off in the minor leagues in Miami. You know, you're talking about a roster that's devoid of talent, and those guys couldn't have both of them there. So those are the trades that people look at, and it's more about what they didn't do than what they did do, I think, for a lot of people. It's like, oh, you got to go get Scooble. You got to go get Blake Snell. And it's, what was the asking price? And when I say that to people, they're like, I don't care. Give up those guys. It's not just about 1 year. It's like, and I get it for people that want it to be that way, but you're trying to build something that's sustainable. There's no more rebuilds in this league with the way that the draft is constructed now. You can still go through it, but there's no guarantee you're getting the number one overall pick to get the best player in the draft.
It's 1,000% right. I mean, there's no guarantees. And let me run through a couple examples of some trades in the past. It's going back some years now, okay? But just to give the context of it, if you have guys that you think are going to be all-stars, plural, for your team, are you willing to give those guys up for the next 5 to 8 years to then get a piece that you don't know what their shelf life is, you don't know what's going to turn out, and there's so many other factors that go into it. So let's look at some trades. You remember the name James Shields, Jeremy?
Yeah, I know who this one's going.
You know where this is going.
Big Game James.
And Big Game James, great pitcher, solid pitcher that you can count on, but at the time, he was moved to a team that wanted to win. Mm-hmm. Right, he went to Chicago, the White Sox. They wanted to win.
And the Chicago White Sox had the number one prospect in baseball at that point in time.
And he was trying to develop into, and the player he developed into is Fernando Tatis Jr. You gave him up, and you can say what you want about some things with him. I know people go back and forth and his suspension with the PEDs. Really good player still. Like, that was an investment, good for San Diego. Another one is we were just reminiscing on some old history. Eric Bedard got shipped out of Baltimore, and at the time he was a guy, right? Where long term, we don't even know it. If you look at it, I know what happened with Eric Bedard, but he didn't pan out for Seattle. But who'd the Orioles get back in that trade? They got back Adam Jones
and George Sherrill,
and George Sherrill for a little bit, right? So you're looking at this, and people can say, as Oriole fans, what did Adam Jones mean for the team during that run of success for Baltimore? It's context here. So for the Orioles fans, I love that Mike Elias is taking responsibility, but there's other things you can't factor in too, Jeremy. Jorge Mateo, yes, went down right before the deadline, but then you weren't counting on Jordan Westberg going down right after it, and that goes into making decisions. And I think that's the part, Jeremy, is that fair to say? I understand fans' frustrations. You look at the injuries and go, we're so depleted. Who were the Orioles going to really trade then? Like, I heard Cade Povich's name getting thrown out. You're going to trade starting pitching or pitchers when you don't have the depth anymore? I think that's just where the bigger discussion goes.
It's the one thing that I've talked about quite a bit, and I'm going to grab some calls here in just a second, 410-583-1057, that you look at the trades that you have the possibility of making. There were rumors coming out that the Orioles were willing to move Mountcastle, that they were willing to move, who's the other
Cedric
player?
Cedric Mullins,
yeah. So they were talking about those because you'd rather give up those guys who still have a little bit of control as opposed to the guys that you have total control over that are coming up through your farm system. Whether there's any validity to those trade rumors or not, but again, who made moves at the trade deadline? The Dodgers got Jack Flaherty. The Orioles got Eflin. Those are probably the two big. Yusei Kikuchi I'd put in there.
Yep.
Is another one that you throw in there. Those are the three biggest pitchers that were traded at the deadline. I don't know how many closers got moved, but I would have never given up what they gave up for Tanner Scott. And I understand that you got Craig Kimbrel here and how that's gone awry. But also, like, some of the smaller moves they made to go grab a few players like Austin Slater and Eloy Jimenez, you're trying to help it. And then all of a sudden, the trade deadline ends, and here goes Westberg getting hurt, and everybody's like, I told you should have kept that guy. Yeah, you knew that was going to happen. It's BS to me. But, you know, that's how fans want to put it. It's just like, there's a lot of people in the city that keep going, oh, this is what they have to do this way. I'm glad you guys aren't running the team, because I don't think you know anything about baseball. Sorry.
And the last thing I'll say, We get the frustration. It's because you care and you're passionate about it, but there's so much more to the game and the game in the business world of what you have to do. And the Oriole fans, you've dealt with a lot over the years. You don't want to give up what your future and opportunities could be for a couple decades is what the hope is.
Let's grab Rashawn, who's in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. I went down to the game last night, right? Because I wanted to see the legend, you know, Blake Snell in person.
Legend.
And everything. Man. Or the Cy Young winner, man. Yeah. But I kind of figured it was going to be a long game. And I remember he had a game, like, I think you was at the game, Jeremy, wasn't you, when you was out west?
Oh, yeah. I got to watch Blake Snell and Chris Sale go at it.
Yeah, it was like a 1-0 game, right?
Yeah, it was my top play that week was the under in that game. And it's funny because I wished a buddy happy birthday that retired for he became a professional gambler on the BetQL network. So they had me send him a video, and I said, look, top play of the night. I'm going to the game, the under in the Giants game. Wind's blowing in. It's cold here at Oracle Park. And I said, now watch the game finish 8-7. It finished 1-0 in 10 innings.
Yeah, 1-0.
Yeah, great game.
And the under was 6.5 too. That game, I never forget because it was like, that's kind of low, man. You know, because I took the over. You know, I'm them low under games.
You fall for that bait all the time, man. So
yeah, I fall for it. But man, it was just, man. The Oriole fans was down there. They was mad. You know, people was talking about the playoffs. Like, man, we don't deserve to go. And if we do go, it's going to be embarrassment. We're going to get swept. And I agree, but you can't be too mad at this team because the injuries is out of control. You know, we ain't got nothing to do with that. Like, it's just like that Ravens team was 2015, right, where everybody was hurt?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like that. So, I mean, hey, this the product we got on the field with the Sotos, the Eloys, and Slaters, and these type of people, man. You know, we can't win with those people right now. And about time, like, Westbrook come back, you know, I don't know what type of shape he's going to be in to give us anything.
I mean, he's been working his ass off to get back, so I'm kind of excited to see it. But, hey, Rashawn, we got to step out, man. I'm sorry. Cut it short. Ethan, Lenny, hang on. We'll get you guys after Shovels. We got Shovels coming up next. I'll give you a little tease. I want to talk about former athletes that get into sports radio. Oh, sorry, Ryan. I want to talk about – no, it is something I want to get into with my shovel because there was a guy who's a big name in the industry and – former Ravens player was chirping about certain things, and he's factually incorrect with everything because he doesn't watch the damn games. I'll tell you who that is and give him my shovel when we come back.